Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Happy Friday. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. You can always get a hold of us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Phone lines as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Donald Trump tweeted out something earlier, and of course yesterday after his shock and awe attack on the media, and the fact that they're still a little perplexed by all of this, and the way that he went after them. Look, I have been interviewed. You ask anybody who's in any kind of industry that has been interviewed by the media, they can spin it. They can do a lot of different things. But the media, we need the media. We need a strong, unbiased media. We do not have that. But the media still plays a very important function in our world, keeping us informed about the powers that be in this country and in this world, and the media is very important. And when you have the most powerful man on earth who tweets this out, producer Phil, please read thine tweet.
The fake news media, the failing New York Times, CNN, NBC News, and many more is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. Sick.
Yeah. That. Understand, I agree with him in a lot of the way that they portray him. Some of that he does to himself. Sometimes you can't write this stuff, so people aren't going to believe you anyways because it's so wacky and crazy. We'll get to something that's wacky and crazy in a little bit. But this right here, you can't have this. You can't. Not everybody who says something that is critical about you or your administration is a liar. Not everybody whose opinion doesn't line up with yours and that the way that they see things is out to destroy you. We need a solid, functioning, unbiased media. Do we have that? No, we don't. There is bias in the media. I have acknowledged that. I will continue to acknowledge that. But we can't have our leaders criticizing the media to the point where they're telling everybody that they're all liars. That they're all liars. Everybody's a liar who doesn't support me. If I see BS, you know me, you listen to the show, I call out BS. Has there been BS? Oh, yeah, there's been BS. Has there been spinning of things to make this president look incompetent? There has been. Has there been spinning of stuff by this media to make him look like he is all of the things that the left believes he is? There has been. But has he done some things out there that warrant a few of these things? Where people can ask the questions? Oh, absolutely. But we need an unbiased media. We need to be able to trust our media, and we don't trust our media right now. We don't trust our media. Some of that is on our own detective work. We've dug up stuff that we don't really quite believe, and we've looked further, and then we find stories like Rolling Stone and the New York Times and people going after, and we're like, oh my God, this is all lies, and it comes out later on that they didn't really do the research. Some of that is their doing, and it's us uncovering these facts for ourselves. But some of that is because we're being told nonstop that the media can't be trusted, that the media is full of liars, that anybody who goes out there and talks bad about this administration and what we're doing here and reports that we are not everything that I say we are, they're liars. And that's not true. That's not true. That's why I say, if you're serious about finding out the truth in life, you're going to have to do some research nowadays. You're going to have to do research. You're going to have to put forth your best effort to uncover something. And that is time consuming, and that is boring, and that is something that most people don't want to do, because most people will just look at something, take it for face value, get a thought process in their head, and move on. But not everything is a lie. And not everything he does is bad. He has done a lot of stuff that's good. And when he does things like today and yesterday, and he goes out there and he does that, it takes away from all of the other stuff that we should be looking at. Remember what I've said. Focus on what you do. Yesterday, he talked about his poll numbers. I asked 4 or 5 people yesterday, do you know why he had a press conference? Nobody could tell me why. It was to introduce Alexander Acosta, who is going to be the, hopefully, the new labor secretary. But his moment was fleeting. Gone. Speaking of media and weirdness, sometimes in life you can't. No matter what you do, the reality of life will make you go, wow, I don't even think I could think that up. Case in point, King Jong Nam, half-brother of the madman that runs North Korea, the Oonster, was killed this week. A woman's been arrested along with 2 others. Her name is Siti Asiya. I'm going to go with that. If I screwed up, you'll never know, because we're not as big in Malaysia as I'd want to be, but we're getting there. She was arrested. She has said, and now some people are corroborating her story, that what happened is she went up and she sprayed some stuff in the face of him, and he ended up dying from it. What they're saying now is that it was set up in such a way over time to get her to do this, as saying that she was part of a television prank show and that she was there to prank him. It was a poison-filled spray bottle, according to Indonesia police. They're saying they believe she is a victim of a victim. So there are layers of victims here. They said before the murder happened, her and another woman had performed several of these stunts on other men, but with water instead of deadly poison. They said they've done it 3 or 4 times and were given dollars to do it. And the last target, Kim Jong Nam's allegedly dangerous materials in the sprayer were put in, and she was unaware of it, and that it was an assassination attempt. Wow. Like, that is, I mean, if you think about it, like, that's some ballsy stuff right there. Like, you are, that is intricate. That is like, that is a prank show like no other. Like, you're waiting for Ashton Kutcher to pop out and just laugh his ass off, and you've been punked, and you can't do that because you've been killed, is the thing. That's stuff that you can't make up. Wow. That to me, I sit there and I scratch my head and I say, somebody came up with that. And you've heard stories about in the past. Was it last year, one of the rivals of Putin? Like something was slipped to him or somebody got a needle near him and poked him. You've heard about that before with several other people who have in the past, especially during the Cold War era, where they got like plutonium in there, some stuff like that, and they end up dying later on, like within a couple months. They get sick, and by the time they figure out what it is, it's like, how did this get in here? And then the people realize, well, I think I got poked one day with something, and too late by then. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. There was a prank show. I want to say it was in the 90s, the mid-80s or the 90s, and it was a prank show in, I think, Lebanon, or it was Beirut, where a guy would walk up with a duffel bag, and he would set it down by people, and then he'd run away, and then everybody'd freak out. Like, that's a funny prank. Chad, that's wrong. What's next for the American family and how we communicate and where we're headed in this world of technology. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What is next? New study says that about half the people under the same roof, meaning families, will text each other while inside the same house. Says it's changing the way that we interact with one another. What's next for families as we move forward? Let me tell you something about families and human beings. We've changed and we evolve, right? We're getting smarter. We're learning more. We've got technology now that we've never had before. It's unprecedented, even over the last 50 years, comparatively where we were to where we are now. Things are changing at a rapid pace. But understand that the 20 and under crowd has only ever known the internet, has only ever known texting, has only ever known the Facebooks of the world. And this is second nature to them. While we ride them and get on them because we feel we've had the best of both worlds, right? And I think in a way we have. Because we have learned how to emote and how to communicate via a sort of humanity, shaking hands, talking to people, looking people in the eyes. These kids are different. What's next for the American family is the American family is going to have to learn that technology is here to stay. That when you go to lunch or when you go to dinner, that people will text and people will talk and people will communicate in a much different way. And that you may emote some way completely different, it's not all bad. They say 45% of people message somebody under the same roof on their phones. In a third of households, people use their mobile devices during mealtimes. Well, I can also guarantee a third of households, I'm surprised they have mealtimes anymore. Because how many of us are together and have mealtimes? I cannot remember the last time, even when I was living with my family, that we all sat down and had dinner together. I can't. And when I go over there now, because the kids are coming and they're going, they're always busy, they're always doing something. And the kid, nobody's around to sit down. Everybody does their own thing. When I lived in England, we used to have Sunday night roast, which I loved. Sunday night, we all had roast. It was kind of a tradition, you know, nationwide. But this was a decade and a half ago, two decades ago. Things have changed. Doesn't mean it's for the worst. It just means it's different. This is what technology is. They only know this. To them, this is normalcy. To us, it's different. What's next for the American family? The same. The American family will evolve. Look how we've evolved over the last two decades. More and more people are living in single family households where mom or dad are the only ones. More people are living with, you know, same sex. More people are living with all of these things are, it's all there. Things have changed. It's not bad. It's just different. But is it any different than when you used to go out on a Sunday after church, right? You go after church or whatever you did. And you go to, you know, whatever little greasy spoon or diner or whatever everybody go to for breakfast after church or whenever it was. And you'd sit down and you'd look over and there'd be an old couple there and she'd be reading a book and he'd be reading a newspaper. No different. The difference is it's on our phones. You sit down now, the kid's playing a game, the other kid's texting their friends, the other kid's checking, you know, Instagram and Facebook. That's all the difference is. Mom and dad are still talking. That's how they emote. That's how they act. That's what they do. Not bad, just different. And let's be real. Would you rather get a text or would you rather have your kids screaming at you or you screaming at your kid? Because we're all lazy as can get out, right? Hey, can you get your father? He's in the other room. Dad, Mom wants you. Well, I could have done that. Well, why didn't you? Nowadays, hey, Dad, come on in here. Mom wants you. Because none of us are getting up. None of us are getting up. What's next for the American family? We're going to be brought closer together by technology. We're going to emote in a different way. That's that. No more, no less. But it is a good idea to have meals together. They show, survey says, that kids who eat with family, kids who eat meals together with family, go further in life. Just want to let you know that. Producer Phil, I'm out here in beautiful Palm Springs, California, USA, America. Southern California. We are getting pounded by a storm. It has not yet reached us, but it has hit Southern California quite hard. The name of the storm, which we are looking at, looks to be called Lucifer. And it is
That's a fake news ugly. Story.
That's what I thought. But several places are carrying it, saying it's called Lucifer. Which, if you honestly think about it, like, they give these names. Like, it doesn't matter what you call storm, because they're running out of names. But Lucifer is a pretty badass name. If you're going to have a storm, Lucifer may be the storm to go with. Because as we all know, what will nature do to us? Nature will f*** you up. It will. It will mess your ass up. You do not want to mess with nature. People always ask me, who's the toughest of all the X-Men? Is it Storm? Why? She controls nature. You control nature, you win. I'm just letting you know. I can't wait for the rain. I'm excited. They do that to me here, though, in Southern California. Well, rain's coming, and where we live in Palm Springs, and it's like, it never gets here. Never gets here. I'm waiting for it. I'm looking outside. I'm going to go outside and take a picture with it. It's like, what is this? Precipitation. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. PewDiePie is feeling the wrath of the internet, live by the sword, die by the sword, and sensitivity editors. Where do you hear about this? Too many people out there love to bitch, whine, and moan. Sensitive. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Friday. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Social media. We live in a world right now where everybody's hypersensitive. I saw a new study today that says two-thirds of Americans have some sort of stress based on this last election cycle, that we are very much a divided nation. And because of that, there's a certain tenseness and stress. I get that. You know, I work in an industry where I talk for a living. I give you my opinions. There are going to be opinions I give you that you do not like. There are going to be things I say that you do not agree with. There are going to be jokes that I say that maybe make you cringe or that you take offense to. This is not your mom and dad. This is not your grandma and grandpa's talk radio show. That's not who I am. I don't beg for callers. Why? Because I don't care. What do callers usually bring to a lot of things? Chad, you shouldn't say, no, what? If you want to sit here and you want to debate me and you want to argue it, I love that. Let's talk about things. But I prefer the text. 323-538-2423. But we live in a world now where hypersensitivity is everywhere. Earlier this week, we did a story about how CEOs and executives of large corporations finally admitted that certain situations, it gets too hot for them, and that the boycott power of a lot of people scares them, and they're willing to move quick to avoid controversy. You've got CEOs who have to come out and explain themselves because they say that, oh, by the way, I think Trump's going to be good for business in the country. And all of a sudden, people are coming out and attacking them as if they condone everything that Trump does. And you've got to apologize for that. We live in a world now where you got to apologize. In my business, if I'm not pissing you off sometimes, if I'm not making you think, if I'm not getting a reaction out of you, then I'm probably not doing my job right. I know a lot of talk show hosts out there who've never got a complaint in their life. As if they should be proud of that. Nobody's ever complained about me. It's because you suck. There you go. Boom. Problem solved. I'm not even going to charge you for that. You should get complaints. You should have some controversy. You should get people upset. But we're also hypersensitive, right? Sometimes people get upset for no reason. You're like, of all the things that get upset, boom. And sometimes you do stuff and that sarcasm backfires. And even if you're a big star on the internet, and if you don't think there are big stars on the internet, you're fooling yourself. PewDiePie, you don't know who he is. Let me tell you this right now. He is the highest paid, top earning YouTube star on the planet. Last year, he earned $250,000 a week. Let that soak in for a second, kids. $250,000 a week. His name is Felix Kjellberg. 25 years old. He's known for his explicit laden commentaries. He plays video games. He has 40 million subscribers. 40 million subscribers to his YouTube page. Oh, now they're saying it's 50 million. So, there you go. But PewDiePie got himself in a little trouble because there have been some videos that have come out recently that shows that while he say it's sarcasm and he says it's satire, has had some anti-Semitic leanings to it. Since then, and this only happened just the other day, boom, Disney and several other large companies have stepped away from it. Now, he's still going to make a ton of money. He's still going to make a ton of money. But in this day and age, you must watch everything you do. Everything you do. Everything. Doesn't matter. You got to go back and clear off anything that you've done in your past. Because somebody is going to find it. Somebody is going to release it. Somebody is going to get a hold of it. And what you think may be funny, right? And you also have to know who you are. If you're a stand-up comic and this is the stuff you do, people expect that. If you do nothing of the sort like this and you release something like this, people don't expect that. It's a bigger shock. Like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, I know what to expect from Chris Rock. I go see him in concert. I know what to expect from him. I go see Jim Gaffigan in concert. He starts dropping the N-bomb and all kinds of stuff. I didn't expect that. He might think it's satire, but I didn't expect that. You got to be careful. Because we live in a world where everybody is hypersensitive. People are stressed. Do you realize people are literally stressed out because of politics? Like, they're terrified. They're scared. They're nervous. They're edgy. People are worried. I said today we're going to get to the point where the thought police is going to be they're going to be referees. You're going to be walking down the street and you're going to say something and you're going to think it's funny. You're going to be talking to your friend. Somebody's going to throw a yellow flag like you're at a football game and give you a timeout because you said something that micro-oppressed or micro-aggressed somebody. Yes, there's context and it's tough. But when you do certain things for a living, you have to be aware. And even if you are aware, it doesn't mean that people still won't come after you. Case in point. This is insane. Publishers. People who publish books, they still make those. You open them up, there's words inside. You flip the papers, words inside. More paper. Oh, my goodness, there's a story. It's got to begin, the middle, the end. They're hiring sensitive readers to flag potential offensive content. Think about that. If that doesn't sound creepy, I don't know what does. You can blame the right for a lot of things, right? You can blame the right for a lot of stuff. But the right ain't hiring sensitivity people. You've heard stories over the last couple of years where Mark Twain books have been changed and they've taken out some of the words in there that were culturally offensive. Comics are afraid to go places. But now you've got words on a paper where people are writing a story out and you've got cultural sensitivity readers to flag potential issues that may come down the road. How soon do you think, Producer Phil, till artwork starts to get this kind of look at? Like, we can't have this artwork hanging up in here because the person who created this artwork maybe had a view of Jewish people, or maybe had a view of blacks or whatever in a different way, and they found that out, and so now we have to have so-and-so gone.
It could very well happen soon.
Think about that. Think about going to some, like, to the Louvre and finding out, well, you can't see the Mona Lisa because, you can't. Think about saying, well, you know, Picasso, he was such and such, and he thought such and such. And because of that, we feel his artwork is culturally inappropriate to have somebody like that here. Interesting. But if you don't think that this is something that you should be worried about, you're fooling yourself. I mean, some of the people, here's a perfect example. This right here is you've got a woman who's written large books. We'll call her J.K. Rowling, who was criticized by Native American readers and scholars for her portrayal of a Navajo tradition in a 2016 story, History of Magic in North America. Young adult Kira Drake was forced to revise her fantasy novel after an online uproar over its portrayal of people of color and Native backgrounds. So people are going back now, and they're feeling like they have to change their stories. This online bullying of people is sad. And the fact that we're so sensitive. In my business, I talk for a living. Some of you pissed off today at me for God knows what. I get a ton of text messages. I get all kinds of stuff sent to me. What a jerk I am. How horrible I am. Blah, 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 blah. It is what it is. I don't like what you said here. Normally, I agree with you, but I think you're a jerk. What does it look like in the future? What does it look like in the future? 5 years from now, what does it look like? When you have schools that are getting rid of buildings and renaming them or putting somebody else in there because the person who helped build that establishment, the person who built that school, who many, many, many moons ago, who is no longer with us, his family owned slaves, or he had a view that was of the time, a view that many people had. And now we have to get rid of it. Or we're going to wipe out history? Is that what we're going to do? Is that going to make people feel bad? Because I guarantee you some of the people, the books you read, probably have a different thought process. Some of that great artwork that you see in all of these places, these wonderful museums around the world, from the Getty to the Met to the Louvre, I bet you some of those artists out there who've done some amazing pieces, I bet you they didn't have the politically correct thinking in many different ways. So are we going to get rid of their art? When you start to do these kind of things, the slippery slope starts to go fast. That genie pops out the bottle, and there's no way you're getting it back in. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Say, what? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Say what? We'll get to say what in a little bit. Talking about the fact that sensitivity to everything now, revisionist history, wiping out things we don't agree with. Here's one for everybody. Here's one for everybody. Walt Disney. Think about that for just a few moments. We'll get back to it in a second. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. John in Indiana, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, I'll tell you, you're a little late on worrying about that happening. It's been happening for a long time. And just because I'm on the Christian side of things, I get a little offended when they put Jesus on a crucifix in a jar of urine. I think that's pretty terrible, but I didn't tell them not to do it, and the courts didn't tell them not to do it. But when they did a comic book thing on Muhammad, then we had this massacre, and that was due to them doing that. And I don't remember anybody getting massacred over Jesus being in a jar of urine.
No, they didn't. Actually, you're absolutely right about that. They did not massacre anybody. And get your call, John. Thanks so much. And, you know, here's a perfect example of John and everybody else out there. Last year, Family Guy did an episode where Jesus pretended to be a virgin all the time and just so he could sleep with everybody's wives. Nobody killed anybody. Nobody killed anybody. But if you think about it, I said Walt Disney earlier. Right? I said Walt Disney. Look, we don't want to take away people's right to expression. We don't want to take away people's right to expression. And we don't want to change past things that happen. It's who we are as a country. It's who we are as a world. It's who we are. People fly to Egypt to go see the pyramids. How do you think they were built? You think they had a union? No. Well, we should get rid of those then, right? We're about sensitivity. Walt Disney, I said it earlier. Walt Disney, many people, it was one of the worst kept secrets. He was anti-Semitic. He had racial issues. He dropped the N-word on numerous occasions. At one time, he was supposed to have a meeting with the NAACP because of a black servant and a song of the South. It was a Dumbo, Black Crows, Fantasia-like situation. It was supposed to be this movie. They said it is so embarrassingly racist that Disney has actually put it in a vault to hopefully never be seen again. Why you'd even keep it, I don't know. Don't say for posterity. But what about that for a second? I mean, I think it's a question to ask. Are we going to pick and choose certain things? And that's what we do. It's okay to make fun of Christians. It's okay to do this. It's okay. But Mark Twain, literary genius, one of the most beloved books of all time. Is there race issues in there? Yes, but that's how it was done at the time. That's how it was dealt with. I watched Roots the other night. The new Roots. I watched it. That's what happened. That's how it was portrayed. I wouldn't want them to go back and change any of that. I want to see how it was portrayed. I wanted to see how it really was. I don't get it. And this whole, like, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to change everything. Our founding fathers were not the best people in the world when we look back at what they were compared to how we think today. They didn't think any different because that is the day and age in which they live. Kids are growing up today with computers. Right? They're all growing up with computers. That's how they live. That's all they know. People who are 70, 60, they didn't live like that. That's all they knew. People are going to be 100, look back and go, wow, there was times when people didn't have computers. They didn't have these kind of things. They weren't as enlightened as we are. They used to take horses. They used to walk places. It's all they knew at the time. It's all they had at the time. Doesn't make it right. It's a learning experience. But to whitewash it, if you will, away from our psyche and history, that doesn't do anybody any good at all. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Somebody text me, Redskins, offensive, ? For some it is, but for a good portion of people, no, it's not.
It's offensive to me, but for different reasons.
The Chad Benson Show.